from Puros Worldwide, this is FSM.
Hello, welcome to Monday's programme. How you doing? Are you well? Hope you had a good weekend. A grim one in the northwest of the UK, pretty grim this afternoon. It doesn't feel very much like July. Anyway.
It's the BBG, not the BBC. You're listening to the Richie Allen Radio Show, live from Salford in Greater Manchester.
It's the Richie Allen Show, broadcasting live on richieallen.co.uk and multiple platforms around the world. And now, here's your host, Richie Allen.
Yes, I welcome back to the program the conservative talk show host, Larry Gators, Bishop Larry Gators, whom we've enjoyed having on the program a couple of times in the past. He's moving up in the world, is Larry. I think I saw him on InfoWars, on a YouTube video that came across my desk today. So Larry Gators joins the program this hour. He's going to be on with me for the duration. Lots to talk about with Larry, and I'm looking forward to it. There you go. I've already asked you how you are. You can tell me if you want via Twitter. You can let me know. Was your weekend good, was it? All weekends are the same, aren't they now? Everything is the same. Everything feels the same. Yes, yes. Yes, we are going to talk a little bit about masks in a moment. I'm going to try and vary things up because you're getting battered. So you are. You're being inundated, that's the word, with stories about masks and shops and all the rest of it. But anyway, cancel culture strikes again. Did you hear the news there about the Washington Redskins, which is a gridiron team? That's American football, pigskin, and all of that. Here's Good Morning America, ABC.
We want to turn now to some major news out of the NFL. A source telling ESPN that Washington's NFL team retiring its controversial nickname. Rachel Scott joins us from Washington. Rachel, this has been a years-long and heated debate.
You're right about that, TJ. The team announcing this morning they are getting rid of both the name and the logo. But look, many say this team has been behind the times. They were the last NFL team to integrate. They have held on to this controversial name, widely seen as racist, for 87 years. The team's owner now reversing course after previously saying he would never change the team's name, saying it actually honored Native Americans, now buckling under pressure after corporate sponsors and backers came out demanding change. Nike and Amazon stopped selling the team's merchandise online. FedEx, who owns the naming rights to the team's stadium behind me, also driving those calls for a change. And now the team says they are in search of a new name and logo. One suggestion being offered up: the Red Tails, named after the Tuskegee Airmen. Guys?
That's got a nice ring to it. I like that. All right, Rachel, thanks so much.
Thanks, Rachel. No way I'm ever changing the name, ever, said the owner of the Redskins. But then Amazon and Coca-Cola, to name two corporations. Corporations which are exercising powers now that many of us were warning they would for years. The irony of corporations taking a moral stance against a sports team and threatening to withdraw their support, their advertising revenue, unless the sports team does what it is told. Corporations that screw their employees with their low-paid zero-hour contracts. Corporations that exploit people in third world countries. Corporations that externalize their costs onto the public with the help of bought and paid for filthy politicians. Imagine being lectured by a corporation about what you should and shouldn't do. Getting all moral, eh? I've no opinion on it. Well, I do, but I'd be here all day getting into whether they should change their name or not. I love a bit of delicious irony, don't you? Every now and then it's good. Nice bit of delicious irony, sweet irony. You've been hearing about Leicester, that's the city, sweatshops and slavery. This was uncovered by the Sunday Times, kind of. The Sunday Times did two Sundays, yesterday and the previous Sunday, they've put out this report on how some big fashion brands, fast fashion, are, well, they're using factories, very dingy, very awful, very run-down factories, in which a lot of immigrant people, a lot of, yes, you could say immigrants, in these factories are being paid not even half the minimum wage. But it's not new. It's been tolerated for a long time. It's been known about, right? Right. But it's all over the TV and radio shows today. And presenters, of course, are virtue signalling to the moon about it. Of course, that's what they do. Oh, it's terrible. Oh, it's awful. In this day and age, scream the presenters, who are decked out in clothes that were sewn by a woman in the Far East while a guy prods her with a rifle. Yes, celebrities. Anyway, after a report by a Sky journalist from a crumbling and decaying building that contains people paid £3 an hour to make these clothes in these very atrocious conditions. You'll never believe who Adam Bolton interviewed for her take on it. You'll never believe it. Adam.
Well, joining us now is Cherie Blair, the human rights barrister.
What was that?
Well, joining us now is Cherie Blair, the human rights barrister and founder of the Cherie Blair Foundation, who has been campaigning recently on the issue, or for a number of years, I should say, of modern slavery. First of all, in this country, how extensive do you believe modern slavery is?
That's not the question I would have asked Cherie Blair, but anyhow.
Well, you've heard it in your report, and we've been talking for a long time now about how modern slavery is the hidden issue, which is actually right there on our high streets, whether it's nail bars, whether it's workers on in the building sites, or whether we've seen here in Leicester factory workers earning less than the minimum wage.
Yeah.
It's an issue, and one of the interesting things is over the last 3 years, we've had more people suffering modern slavery from the UK than we've had previously.
Bullshit. I call bullshit on that.
So previously you thought it's Vietnamese or people from overseas, but we're now...
Vietnamese? What about Iraq? What about Afghanistan? Your husband might have something to say about those countries. And your husband's tribute act, David Cameron. What about Libya and places like that? Yemen maybe, I don't know.
Finding people who are British being caught in modern slavery.
What a liar, yeah. And you know, Bolton despises the Blairs. Adam Bolton famously despises Tony Blair. I thought Bolton might, just this morning, he might throw off the shackles of Sky News and say, well, Mrs. Blair, or whatever your name is, does your husband feel just a tiny bit responsible for the situation that some of these people find themselves in? No, no. But of course he didn't. Of course he didn't. This is the Richie Allen Radio Show. Bishop Larry Gators, yes, will be with me in about 20 minutes. Time. Lovely bit of switcheroo by Sky News this morning. You know they're pushing masks hard today and yesterday. And by they, we don't mean Sky exclusively. All of the media outlets are doing it. Very, 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 very pushy about why we should be wearing masks when we are outdoors, but most immediately when we are in shops. They're pushing it hard. The Ginger Ninja. So what is switcheroo then? Well, switcheroo, as played by Sky presenters and their producers, is a wonderful game. We've exposed it on this programme before, haven't we? So you've got someone on the air then. This is how switcheroo is played. Any number of people can play. You've got someone on the air, and he or she isn't towing the party line, you see. Your guest, who's on via Skype, isn't saying that which you expected them to say. So you get quickly rid of them and you get somebody else entirely. This is beautiful. Infectious disease expert Dr. Ben Killingly, that's his real name, Dr. Ben Killingly, he isn't as wedded to the idea that we should all wear masks as Kay Burley wants him to be. This is beautiful.
And so I do think it's difficult for people sort of trying to decide what to do for themselves, and strong government guidance, I think would be welcome. But I'm not sure that definitely mandating them in shops is certainly not a scientifically proven thing. I think this is more about...
What was that, Dr. Ben Killingly, again, about science and shops? Because I think it's important to repeat.
I'm not sure that definitely mandating them in shops is certainly not a scientifically proven thing.
It's not a scientifically proven thing.
I think this is more about a political decision and perhaps giving people a bit more confidence to go to shops. I think that's what it's more about in this situation.
Okay, quick thought before we let you go.
Okay, let's get rid of him. Quick thought now. This is what Burley does. It's beautiful. He shouldn't have said that, that it isn't scientifically proven. So now Burley wants to talk about how immunity to COVID doesn't last very long. Burley wants to end it on a high, you see. This guy was taking the audience back from the precipice of fear by saying there's no scientific evidence to prove wearing masks. But Burley wants to scare the bejesus out of you again. So before she lets him go...
Let you go, I'm sure that this will be a topic of discussion going forward, but I'm reading this morning that immunity... from COVID-19 could only last a few months before potential reinfection. Something we need to be worried about, Doctor.
Oh, we need to be worried.
It is. We really don't know quite what the immunity looks like, how long it lasts for, and just doing antibody responses and looking at their levels is the traditional way of looking at immunity, but just a blood test on its own is not enough. There's more that goes into whether a person is protected or not, just than a relatively straightforward blood test.
Good man.
So there's definitely more work to be done, but one of the concerns or one of the unknowns is how long immunity does last.
Good lad. He's not supposed to say that there's no scientific evidence for wearing masks in shops. And when he's asked about the new evidence that we don't stay immune for too long, he says there's more work to be done. It isn't simple. Listen to Burley wrap him up and move on. This is beautiful. Because while Burley was talking to him, her production team were working frantically to get another guest. Listen to her wrap up, Dr. Ben Killingly.
There's definitely more work to be done, but one of the concerns or one of the unknowns is how long immunity does last. It's still difficult to say.
Indeed, Doctor. It's good to talk to you. Thank you. Let's go to Edinburgh now, should we? Scotland's former chief scientific advisor, Professor Dame Anne Glover.
Jesus, that was quick. We're off to Edinburgh now immediately to talk to Professor Dame Anne Glover, former chief scientific advisor in Scotland. And I bet you, your last shilling, you know exactly what she's going to say. She's been brought on at the speed of light to basically refute what Ben Killingly said and double down on the fear porn. This is the media in 2020.
He's joining us now.
Hello, Dame
Anne. For joining us.
Thanks for joining us at the last minute, Anne.
Brings. Where are you on that one?
Yeah.
Well, in Scotland, face coverings are mandatory on public transport and also in shops. And I think all the evidence would suggest that was a good idea. I mean, to reduce the spread of coronavirus, you really need to do two things. And the first is to limit control or limit your contact with infected people. And we do that by physical distancing. And the second thing that we can do is reduce the probability that we might transmit coronavirus by some intervention, and that's face covering. And so I think we would want to, we are doing physical distancing, we're wearing masks or face coverings in the whole of the UK on public transport. And there's often high density of people in shops, and so a good idea to wear face coverings in shops as well.
You can see why it's confusing for the public, though, can't you? I mean, we saw what Priti Patel was doing. She had one on outside. She didn't have one on inside. The Justice Secretary said we're still learning how to use them.
Yeah.
The good doctor just told us that he doesn't think that we necessarily need to wear one in a shop.
The good doctor told us that he doesn't think we necessarily need to wear one in a shop. His name is Dr. Ben Killingly, and he is a proven academic expert in infectious diseases. That's what he is. And this is the reason this woman was brought on last minute. Now.
Wear one in a shop. You're saying that we, if you're in Scotland, then you do. It's confusing.
It's not.
Honestly, I don't really think it is confusing. I mean, it's very, you were talking earlier about the difficulty of wearing a mask, or that's what the minister suggested. It's just not difficult wearing a mask. It's incredibly easy. If you can wear a T-shirt, if you can wear a pair of trousers, you can wear a mask. It's just not difficult. And I think that, really, why wouldn't we do this? And there are about 50 countries in the world where face coverings are mandatory in shops and on public transport. But in every single country of those 50 where face mask wearing has been introduced as mandatory, transmission rates have fallen. Now, it's incredibly cheap to put a scarf over your face and to wash it after you've used it. Why would you not do that? Because you'll reduce transmission, you would reduce deaths arising from people contracting coronavirus, and you'll also protect the economy if we are all able to go out without fear of contracting the disease.
Imagine that. Why wouldn't you wear one? It's as easy as putting one on as putting on a pair of jeans. You won't give somebody your dirty germs and you'll help the economy, said the doctor who was brought on at the last second to refute the dangerous testimony from the infectious disease diseases expert, who said there's actually no proven science that warrants mandating masks for everybody in shops. That's the media. I find it very difficult to do this job right now. I've spoken about this before. I'm not going anywhere. It's hard for me to put up with this as a journalist who was lucky enough to work with some of the best people that have ever worked in the industry. It disgusts me to know that editorial decisions are made at Sky News and the BBC to keep people off the air who challenge what is being told to us by Sage and that which is being told to us by the Prime Minister and his henchmen and henchwomen, to keep them off the air. This sort of skullduggery is going on, that the emotions of the audience are being played with and people are being manipulated in this way. It's so clear what happened there. We saw this before a couple of years ago, most famously on this programme, when there was a doctor on saying that really young people really didn't need to have the flu vaccine. There's no need for it. You know, they'll get the flu and they'll get over it and blah, blah, blah. And she was whisked off the air very quickly. And then some bloke was brought on to say everybody should have it. It's disgraceful. I don't know how people like Kay Burley sleep at night. I really don't. I mean, there must come a point in your life when you have enough money. When your mortgage is paid off. Why do you do it? How can you look at yourself in the mirror when you're brushing your teeth? How can you call yourself a journalist? That is anti-journalism, that. It doesn't get any worse than that. And it happens. I witness this shit on a daily basis. And this is why you ask the question, why do your neighbours fall for it? Why do your neighbours go along with it? Don't blame them. Blame the media. People don't know whether they're coming or going with these people. What is being done to them? This is massive psychological trauma being inflicted on people on a daily basis. The fear. The lies. The previous guy said, well, it's scientifically unproven, wearing masks in shops. So Burley jumped in with, oh, we're hearing that there's no real immunity to COVID after you've had it. That's just horse shit. Nobody knows that. And in fact, Burley would probably know that in New York State, they're saying that they're seeing immunity in 80% of people that have had COVID. Strong immunity. Natural immunity, of course. Of course, we know what's going on. Vaccine, 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 vaccine. That's where it's going. But the entire media is at it. It's a massive, massive propaganda machine. Global media owns lots and lots of radio stations and regional newspapers. Global media is the devil. And they've got an insufferable little bollocks on in the morning called James O'Brien. And he believes it's mainly Brexiteers that won't wear the masks, apparently.
But here's a newspaper columnist with a degree in history telling you that masks have absolutely no medical value whatsoever. Or a former UKIP politician claiming that she caught herpes from hers. And it's quite incredible, really, now, that the madness that engulfs us. And once again, I don't understand why being a passionate supporter of Brexit also makes you likely to be a passionate enemy of face masks.
How can you get away with that? If I had said that on commercial media during my many days on commercial radio, I would have been fired. Where are the fucking standards in UK media? You're more likely to be against wearing masks if you're a Brexit supporter. That is fucking horseshit. How could he still be in a job this afternoon? My feet wouldn't have touched the ground in my commercial radio days, and I would have had no arguments. You can't say that. That's not journalism. It's propaganda. And I have no time for Nigel Farage or Trump or any of those other idiots It's just rotten stuff, this, isn't it? It's wretched. And this is what... I mean, fair enough with LBC. It's not like the BBC. You don't pay them. You know, it's disgraceful. And it just goes on and on and on.
Is it just faith versus facts again? Is it this idea that you can actually... Because you can win a referendum with exceptionalism and nonsense. So the idea persists that you could also somehow win a battle with a global pandemic with fact-free, faith-based nonsense.
There is no scientific evidence, none, that masks, wearing masks, make you or the person standing 3 feet in front of you any safer. None. The World Health Organization itself said at the very beginning of this fucking madness that it's negligible, the benefits of using them. Negligible. I mean, and that's what makes it worse, you see. Media whores like James O'Brien and Kay Burley, they know the truth. I'll never forgive these people. This is not just ignorance. They know the truth. They know what's going on. And yet for £300,000 a year or whatever it is, they'll sell their own people, they'll sell their neighbours and their families down the fucking river and vomit out that propaganda morning, noon and night. How do they live with themselves? How? I'd rather be mopping floors at a fucking peep show for a living than to go on the radio and lie to people like that. I really would. I'd mop the floors at a fucking porn theatre. I would. And I'd be happy. I'd go home and say, well, you've done an honest day's work there. You know, I do it for minimum wage rather than take £300,000 to do what they do. It's disgraceful. It's heartbreaking, to be honest, isn't it? And I don't know what to do about it. It's getting very frustration. It's getting very frustrating for me to be putting up with it, knowing that they're reaching numbers of people in the UK that I can only dream of. I'm pretty sure globally I've got more listeners than James O'Brien. In fact, I know I do. I know I've got 2.5 million unique listeners a month tuning into my programme. The facts bear that out. But they're not all in the UK, sadly. Well, you might be able to make some bloody difference, you know? Mad times, these. Mad times. Any sanity from Peter Hitchens? He was speaking to Mike Graham of Talk Radio. He speaks to him regularly. They do a thing every Monday. Hitchens was speaking with him. A little bit of sanity here. He wants a separate world with our own train carriages and with our own pubs for those of us that haven't fallen for the fear porn. Peter Hitchens of the Mail on Sunday.
Yeah, I think that the time has come. It's plain that an awful lot of people, and this is partly thanks to the BBC as we discussed, are never going to be persuaded that there's anything wrong with this madness. The government is never going to admit that it made a terrible mistake, which would be the only other way of clearing the air. That those of us, which is a substantial but a minority nonetheless, those of us who think that life is for living, should be allowed to make declarations that we indemnify employers and we're not going to sue anybody if we catch coronavirus, and that establishments which are willing to host us should post up signs saying we are relaxed, and those who are relaxed should wear badges saying I'm a relaxed person. And we could go to the pub, to the restaurant, to church, to wherever it happens to be, without any of these foolish restrictions. And there would also, I would suggest, that the railways should run at least one carriage on each train, which was a relaxed carriage, where people could continue to act as if they were normal, and preferably where refreshments were once again served, which has stopped on all the trains I know. I'd be quite happy under this circumstance alone for this period to undergo tracking and tracing, because I believe that if those people who were relaxed and those people who continue to follow these fetishes were measured, you would find not merely that all of us who were relaxed were much happier than the people who were still shrouded in plastic and face nappies and all the rest of it. But also we were much healthier too.
Yeah, face nappies and all the rest of it. Peter Hitchens on Talk Radio. Back in 60 seconds then.
Renowned healer Mark Byerski travels the world to find the most unique and powerful crystals for self-healing. Since the ancient times, crystals have been used as healing tools. They hold a natural healing vibration and are highly charged in positive energy. Mark teaches how to channel the universal energy and transfer it to the crystal to activate its healing power. Each crystal is used for its unique ability to target a different physical or emotional challenge. Mark Bajerski is an author, healer, speaker, and founder of the Pure Energy Healing Academy. He shares powerful messages of inspiration and healing on his daily YouTube videos, reaching millions worldwide. Mark's crystals, healing oils, and incense sticks are most sought after by other healers. His collection is available online at www.markbajerski.com. His work is presented through Lemon House, a company that creates and curates consciously made gifts.
Right, here's a bit of Queen then. I'm going to play this for Steve. I caught your tweet, Steve. And when I come back, Bishop Larry Gators will be with me. Welcome to Monday's Richie Allen Radio Show with me, Richie Allen. The BBG. Yeah, music from Queen there. And the show must go on 28 minutes to the top of the hour. It is Monday's Richie Allen Radio Show, live from the Northwest, from Salford. Without any further ado, let's welcome back Larry Gators to the programme. Bishop Larry Gators, you know all about Larry. Very popular since he's been on this programme. Well, not since he's been on. You have found him to be a great guest and have told me that you like him a lot. So his popularity with my audience is terrific. So he's a nationally syndicated radio host, a conservative. He's based out of New York City. And as I said earlier on, enjoyed watching him on InfoWars in recent days. Let's welcome back to the programme our friend Bishop Larry Gators himself. Larry, welcome back.
Brother Richie Allen, it is such a great honor to be back on your powerful show, The Richie Allen Show, and really looking forward for a robust discussion today concerning Black Lives Matter.
Brilliant. Can't wait to talk about Black Lives Matter, Larry. Thanks. I enjoyed your conversation with InfoWars, Alex Jones. Boy, I enjoyed that. It's good. You did better than most of Alex's guests. You managed to get a few words in, which is not a bad thing. Let me start off straight away with cancel culture. Before we get to Black Lives Matter, a couple of things I want to talk about. Masks and COVID-19. But cancel culture. One of the trending stories today is the news that the Washington Redskins won't be the Washington Redskins for much longer. And coming out of that story is news that it's actually down to all of the credit goes to some of the biggest corporations in the world. The owner had previously said the name would never change, but apparently Amazon and Coca-Cola, to name two, had other ideas. Some people saying today that it was always a racist name and should have been changed. What do you think?
It's not a racist name. Again, Brother Richie, thank you so much for inviting me back to your powerful show, The Richie Allen Show. All of this is based on what I call problem reaction solution, where the deep sea creates a manufactured racist climate. Okay. And not to say that there's no systemic racism throughout America and throughout the world. Okay. But a big percentage of those here in America, those there in England and around the world, are not racist people. Okay. They're just everyday people trying to make a living and trying to feed their families. But you have a global Baphomet Luciferian deep state who wants to create manufactured crisis and a manufactured type of racism to solicit an emotional response from the people, in which those who created the manufactured racism and crisis will give the people what they want, a solution, in which the deep state already had the solution, Brother Richie, before they created the problem. So again, it's nothing more than a psyop of the left that we've got to definitely expose today.
So if a Native American says that they sincerely and genuinely believe that the name of the team was more about, not more about, but there were racist undertones to the naming of the team 80 years ago. I think the Redskins was the last team to integrate, to bring black players onto the team. So if a Native American says, look, I sincerely believe that there wasn't anything good about naming the Washington team the Redskins, and it's a good thing to change it, You're not entertaining that at all?
No, because why is it a problem now? Why wasn't it a problem when Bill Clinton was in office? Why wasn't it a problem when Barack Hussein Obama was in office? Why is it a problem now because of President Donald J. Trump? No, President Trump has nothing to do with this. And I'm not saying that you're saying that, yeah, my brother, yeah. But I'm saying there are bigger problems in this country than to compare it to a logo on an NFL team. We got major, major problems, especially those of the left. Yes.
Well, it's funny. I mean, it's funny you mentioned that it's a recent thing. Apparently, Native American groups have been asking for the team to consider changing the name for several decades. Maybe nobody was listening to them, but I think that was a campaign that was going on for a long time. Let's leave that there. I hear you on that. There are much bigger problems. Donald Trump was pictured wearing a mask, as was Boris Johnson. They're going to mandate wearing masks in shops in this country very soon. And they're also telling us, the ordinary folk, that they're not sure that those of us who have had COVID will have any real immunity. They're saying that immunity mightn't last very long. Were you disappointed to see Donald Trump, your president, wearing a mask in spite of things that he had said in the past? And how worried are you about where this is going to lead, mandating masks in public and that sort of thing, Larry?
Great question, my brother. I am not worried whatsoever, not one iota. It's not surprising that my great president, the Honorable President Donald Trump, was wearing a mask. There's nothing wrong with that. So, but you have those that have been inserted into the life of President Trump to undermine him. People like Dr. Little Tony Midget Fauci and Dr. Deborah 3000 Scarfs Burks, these devils from the left, have been inserted into the presidency of Donald J. Trump in order to undermine him. It's time for America to go back to work. It's time for young people to go back to school. We got to get the country going on again, because all this is a problem reactionary solution through the deep state. So I see no problem whatsoever in my mind concerning wearing masks.
Why do you keep... I don't want to dwell on this because we did touch on it before. We did butt heads on this before. Bishop Larry Gators is our guest. Lovely to have Larry back on the program again today. And my audience, delighted to hear you back on the show. Why do you keep giving this guy a pass? This guy whom is obviously connected to Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, is obviously connected to the Clintons, never did anything that, didn't even do anything remotely like the things he claimed he would do when he was running for office, you know, end US intervention overseas, go after crooked Hillary. The guy has been, I mean, I never supported him or any other politician, but he must be a massive disappointment to conservatives. But yet you still back him. I can't understand it, Larry.
No, but it's the opposite. President Donald J. Trump has not been a massive disappointment. But on the contrary, my friend, President Donald J. Trump has been a massive, massive blessing to these United States for America. Now, before the onslaught of COVID-19, think about this, my brother. For the first 3 years of his presidency, Donald J. Trump had initiated the greatest financial gain in American history. When President Trump came into office, it was a mess, okay? Barack Hussein Obama left the military in a mess, left the financial structure of our country in a mess, because Barack Hussein Obama, a community organizer, did not know what he was doing, okay? And the only reason why black voted for him because of the color of his skin. So then, no, I am so happy with President Donald J. Trump. He has fulfilled his promises, promises made, promises kept, and he is the only president in U.S. presidential history who is dealing with North Korea, who is bringing down the structure of what we call the Chinese Communist Party. And I guarantee you, Joe Sleepy Creeping Biden, who can't remember his left foot from his right hand, will not be elected for the presidency of these United States of America.
Let me jump back in really quickly. You see, you've made some points there about Trump and the economy, but I know how intelligent you are, Larry, because I listen to you. You're ignoring the things that I mentioned. You're ignoring the fact that he's obviously a very close friend of the Clintons. You're ignoring the fact that he was... Let me finish, and then you'll get all the time in the world to respond. He is obviously was intimately acquainted with Jeffrey Epstein. And the man, up until the COVID outbreak, actually dropped more bombs overseas on a daily basis than his predecessor, Barack Obama, who dropped more bombs on average than George W. Bush. Why do you ignore that? And not to mention the fact that it's obvious that Trump is in the pocket of the Israeli government. Why do you ignore that? So I don't understand this. I really don't.
Okay, well, let's bring understanding, because the Word of God says, in all of our getting, let's get a proper understanding. Number one, just because Donald J. Trump knew Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell does not mean that Donald J. Trump did anything wrong. I don't know why everyone knew Jeffrey Epstein, okay, including Barack Hussein Obama and Michael Michelle Obama. All of these people knew Jeffrey Epstein. So all of these people coming out saying, well, Donald Trump did this and that and the other, provide the proof. Okay, Donald Trump is not going to do your job as an attorney by providing you the evidence, because the onus, my brother, is not on President Donald J. Trump to prove his innocence or his guilt. The onus is on the people who are claiming that he knew Jeffrey Epstein. Okay, so he took a couple of photo ops. So what? It doesn't prove anything. Now, getting back to the bombs, you had said last time, my brother, when I was on the air with you, like a month and a half ago, and that President Trump dropped more bombs in the Middle East than all of the presidents combined. That's not true.
I didn't say all the presidents combined. I said he dropped more than Obama, who himself dropped more than George W. Bush.
Okay, let's go back now. According to the U.S. military industrial complex, and we're talking about the Pentagon, right, the CIA and the FBI and the NSA, more specifically, according to the War Department, in their statistics of dropping bombs for the past 10 years, President Barack Obama dropped more bombs on the Middle East alone than all of the presidents combined. And that's including Donald J. Trump. So that's left-wing propaganda. I'm not calling you a left-wingist, my
friend. No, I know you're not. Listen, you can say whatever you want to me. You can say whatever you want to me, and I won't get offended. No. Listen, Forbes magazine, Niall McCarthy. The U.S. never dropped as many bombs on Afghanistan as it did in 2018. 17,500 bombs. Hey, listen, let's just say that you're absolutely right, and I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. Why is he dropping bombs on anybody? He said he wouldn't.
Because these are terrorist organizations, the Muslim Brotherhood, Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, okay, including that evil general in Iran who needed to be taken out, okay? These are terrorists. These people, these organizations want to wipe not just Israel off of the face of the earth, but the United States. You've got terrorist organizations, including Black Lives Matter, including Antifa. These are terrorist organizations that want to bring about discombobulation, destruction, and mayhem at any cost. But it's not going to work. And so we got a president now who's got balls. We got a president now who's a man. We have a president who is a 100% red, white, in blue American, and that's Donald J. Trump. I don't care what color or his ethnicity. He's doing what he had promised going back 3.5 years ago. Promises made, promises kept.
I'm not going to keep arguing with you about Trump for two reasons. One, we've done it before, and two, it's not my style anyway. I respect you and you're right to have a different opinion to me, but I would just reject that and say I believe Trump to have been compromised enough to be ultimately positioned where he is now. I believe Trump is no different to any other politician that came before him. They don't get where they get to unless they're deeply compromised. And that's just my opinion. If you want the last word on that, you can have it. And then we can talk about Black Lives Matter. Yeah, because that's important as well today.
And this is a robust conversation now. Notice how quiet the Hollywood pedophilia industrial complex has been.
Yeah.
Quiet. Okay. There are underground pedophilia networks. Every pedophile network in Hollywood is coming down as we speak. Okay, it didn't come down under Barack Hussein with 1,000 different aliases, Obama. It didn't come under down under Bush, okay, W. Bush, who's now voting for Joe Sleepy Creeping Biden. It didn't come down under the Clintons. So then they hate President Trump because he's exposing them for who they are. Okay, these pedophiles, these Luciferians are coming down. And it's a beautiful thing. It is a massively level of what I call a beautiful thing, as we're going to be talking about Black Lives Matter.
Yeah. So, hey, listen, just before we go there, just before we go there, one final question on Trump. And I can ask you this because you're like myself, yes. You've got very thick skin. Do you trust yourself that if evidence emerged that was to prove that my opinion of Trump is right, and I'm saying opinion, I'm not arrogant, I'm not saying that my beliefs about Trump are absolutely true, it's how I see him, but I'm not arrogant enough to say that it's how it is. But if evidence emerged that backed up my claims that he's just another stooge, another puppet, Zionist control and all of that, do you trust yourself to be able to objectively look at it? Because I reckon a lot of Trump supporters, I'm not saying you know, Larry, but a lot of Trump supporters are so embedded in the camp that I think if Trump himself was to come on television and say, yes, I used to party with children at Epstein's hideaway, I think people would say that he'd been brainwashed into saying it. They wouldn't believe it. Do you trust yourself that if you saw incontrovertible evidence that Trump was a bad guy, do you actually believe that you would say, fair enough, guys, I was wrong?
All of these assumptions you're making, and there's a great saying here in the United States. I don't know if it's in England, but here is the assumption that you're making.
Yeah.
Assumptions is the mother of all mess ups. Now, you can assume until the cows come home blue, red, white, and blue and green. Provide the evidence, not assumptions, not innuendos, not what you think or what I think. Bring forth the evidence, what we call the preponderance of evidence, okay? Now, if you bring forth the evidence and President Trump is guilty, and of course, he should be removed from office. I am one of the most objective human beings that you will ever interview, my friend. But the thing is, there's been no evidence, okay? Only innuendos from where? From the media that we call medium, which means a witch. So the crack news network, they're witches. MSNBC with Rachel Madcow Maddow, she's a witch. All of these witches, okay, who mysteriously got their hands on the 2006 tax returns of our president, that's a felony. No yeah. one's talking about that. So if there's evidence, bring it forth. Not yeah. what the New York Times had said.
You won't get an argument from me, Larry. Listen, on the prostitutes, you won't get an argument from me. I totally agree with you. I see eye to eye with you on a lot of things. This is the absolutely final question on Trump. It's not about Trump, actually. You've got to condemn, because you're a journalist. You say, and I believe you, that you're objective, and you conclude, you reach your conclusion through objectivity, and I buy that, so I'm happy to have you on the program. I like you. Fox News has to be condemned for airbrushing Trump out of a picture with Epstein and Maxwell, don't they? They have to be condemned for that. And why would they do it?
If Fox News actually did that, of course they have to be condemned.
They did do it.
We have to say, right, we have to say objective. But the thing is, we did not vote for an angel. We voted for a man, a president that would destroy the deep state. No, President Trump doesn't have a great bedside manner. I don't care. My job as a journalist, as a geoconservative political analyst, is to analyze the evidence at hand. And I'm going to say this before we get into Black Lives Matter. And I'm so happy to be back on your show. Okay.
Good to have you.
So then when we're talking about knowing enough about a subject to think you're right, Brother Richie, but not enough about the subject to know you're wrong. So if we're going to talk about evidence, let's talk about the Clinton machine. That's evidence.
Yeah.
Let's talk about all. And so as far as Trump, bring forth the evidence, because the onus, whether he's guilty or not, is not on President Trump. The onus is on the legal system to bring him to justice. And so far, it has not been done.
And some of my listeners agree with you. British Bulldog tweets, Richie, if there was more dirt on Trump, don't you think it would have come out already? Yes. Larry Gators is our guest. And we are going to talk now about Black Lives Matter. Larry, you and me could go for a beer and spend hours talking about the crimes of the Clinton cartel. Listen, nobody's done more over the years in this part of the world to talk about the crimes of Hillary Clinton and that pederast of a husband of hers. Don't get me started. I'll be here all day. Look, we're not going to talk anymore about Trump. Larry Gaiters is a conservative talk radio host and a very good one as well. You can follow him on Twitter. We'll put links out for those of you who are only hearing him for the first time. We'll put links out to where you can find Larry on YouTube as well. iHeartRadio. Top man. Now, you've done an extraordinary amount of work on looking into the Black Lives Matter movement, and you did an excellent report last time you were on this programme about how they were agitating people and placing bricks at the side of the street and all of that, and you had a lot of hard evidence, which I really appreciated. I'm fascinated by the work you've been doing on looking into the major money that is coming into the Black Lives Matter movement. And just before you take over and start talking about it, you will probably be aware, but most of our sports programmes here in the UK are now being presented by men and women wearing Black Lives Matter badges. The players are still taking a knee. It's all getting a bit strange. Some players are not comfortable with doing that. Some of them have stated so publicly because of the money that is coming into that organisation from some very, very big corporations. What have you been learning since you were last on the programme about this group of people?
Look at Black Lives Matter. Now, this organization was created in 2013, 1 year after the death of Trayvon Martin, okay? So when we talk about the coming destruction of Black Lives Matter, we have to first look at her, not from a geopolitical paradigm, my friend, but we have to look at Black Lives Matter from a spiritual paradigm. Now, as a side note, now I know that you know about Antifa. So Antifa is the military arm of Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter is the propaganda arm of Antifa, because Antifa actually was created by the Third Reich. We're talking about going back between 1933 and 1945 during the advent of World War II through the Nazi master spy, General Reinhard Gehlen, who created what we call ACTION, capital A-K-T-I-O-N, which means action or anti-fascist, okay? So the Antifa that you see today is from the geopolitical psyop of the Third Reich. And Reich means psyop, but it also means realm. So that's Antifa. And as a quick side note, when you look at the flag of Antifa, having the letter A with the circle around it, that's rooted in divination or witchcraft, and it has both a black and a red crescent-shaped flags, okay? So that insignia was actually created by a Russian killer, going back to 1915, a man by the name of Mikhail Lvovich Molotov, who was the creator of the Molotov cocktail. So that's Antifa, okay? But also, when we talk about Black Lives Matter, so then Black Lives Matter was created in 2013 here in the United States of America, by the money of the Open Source Society, or the Open Society Foundations, through the money of George Soros, whose real name is George Swartz. So George Swartz, or George Soros, had created Black Lives Matter because he, George Swartz, who had his own people gassed, okay, and electrocuted.
He didn't, Larry. That's not fair. Larry, he didn't. That's not fair, Larry. He didn't have his own people gassed. He didn't. I know the story. He admitted that under duress, out of fear, he helped load some possessions of people onto trucks, and he helped round people.
In other words, he allowed, even though he was, and I'm glad that we're talking about this.
Yeah, me too.
It represents you're a great guest. I mean, you're a great host. But I'm saying, Brother Richie, as your guest, yes, he was under duress, but he still allowed it to happen, okay? And so when we're talking about, we have to look at the origin of an organization like Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter is a terrorist organization just like Antifa. And so quickly, remember I said a couple of minutes ago that the founding father of the Molotov cocktail was a Russian killer by the name of Mikhail Lvovich Molotov, who created the insignia of what we call Antifa and their flag. Topic for another day. Let's get to Black Lives Matter. So then Black Lives Matter was not actually created by these three black witches. Yes, there are witches. I'm talking about Alicia Garza. She's a member of Omega Phi Beta. We talked about the Boule Secret Society some months ago.
Patrice
Cutler, she's a member also of Omega Phi Beta. And Oba Temeti, she's a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha. They're all a part by and through the Boule Secret Society that we call Sigma Pi Phi, which is the black equivalent of Yale University Skulls and Bones. But these three women were put in charge of the creation of the black, Black Lives Matter. Now, why do we call it matter? Do they matter because they have significance? Or do they matter because, according to the mindset of the deep state through George Soros, black people are nothing more than a piece of a matter, black matter, what we call a chemical compound or a black particle. You have to examine words when we're talking about Black Lives Matter. So these three women, yes, they are the three heads of Black Lives Matter, but they did not create the psyop of Black Lives Matter. It was the liberal left-wing white power structure in this country on the left, beginning with George Soros. Why? Because these white liberals on the left did not want black people to create their own organic organizations like they did in the 60s. So now most of your black organizations here, the NAACP, Urban League, SNCC, CORE, all of these organizations were not created by black people. They were created by Khazarian Jews. And I'm not saying anything's wrong with that. But what I'm saying as far as Black Lives Matter, so when you look at the origin of Black Lives Matter, it is modeled from a West African religion, my friend, called Odu Ifa, capital O-D-U, space capital I-F-A. There's a book called Ifa, Divination, Knowledge, Power, and Performance. That is the spiritual Bible of Black Lives Matter. Remember I said a couple of minutes ago, you have to bring her down, not through a geopolitical paradigm, but through a spiritual paradigm. So what is the West African religion called Ifa? It is a composition of 16 points of what they call demonic possession by connecting to your forefathers, okay? That's witchcraft. Now, how many chapters does Black Lives Matter have in the United States and Canada? 16. So each of the 16 chapters of Black Lives Matter represents each of the 16 points of chapters or points or states of demonic possession in Ifa, divination, knowledge, power, and performance. And to the women out there, stop calling yourself Diva, capital D-I-V-A, because that's the acronym for the term divination or witchcraft. So then we know that Black Lives Matter is modeled after this West African witchcraft tradition. Quickly here, before we give the floor over to you, my brother, there's a second book by Dr. William Bascom. It represents the title 16 Cowries, capital C-O-W-R-I-E-S, okay? It talks about the Arubian tradition of what we call Odu Ifa, 16 points of contact with your forefathers going back in your past. That's witchcraft, or the mechanics of Ifa divinational system. So then, now, in Indian mythology, my friend, when we go back to the 1300s, The term thug, which is the psyop of Black Lives Matter, okay? Because in the beginning, they had a great beginning, okay? They were exposing police corruption. I don't have a problem with that. Now, all of a sudden, they became weaponized by the left to destroy property, to not only hurt people physically, but to the point they are murdering people here in the United States in the name of liberation, my friend. And now they are attacking the church. This is a terrorist organization. Now, quickly, back in the 1300s, there was a secret society of bandits called the Thuggy Secret Society. All your listeners can go to Google Images and type in Thuggy, capital T-H-U, double G-double-E. This is where we get the term thug. So three men, just like three women in the Black Lives Matter, three men created the Thuggy Secret Society. Behram, capital B-E-H-R-A-M, his name in the Sanskrit means black. Laveth, capital L-A-V-I-T-H, his name in the Sanskrit means lives. And Morty, capital M-O-O-R-T-I, his name means in the Sanskrit matter or DNA. Oh, so Behram, Laveth, and Morty, the first three founders of the Thuggy Secret Society, means, according to the Sanskrit, Black Lives Matter. Okay. Now, there is a powerful book called The Thuggy, The History of the Thugs, the World's First Organized Gang of Professional Killers, first by Dr. Charles Griffin.
Yeah.
And I'll say this real quick and then give the floor over to
good
you.
Stuff.
Thank you so much for your patience, my friend.
No, it's all. It's good.
Okay, let me say this real quick. So then the Thuggy Seeker Society, their god that they worship was a woman by the name of Kaylee, capital K-A-L-I. This is where you get the term California or California. Kaylee means life. This is where you get the term thug life. So then the term thug life through both the Bloods and the Crips. And as a side note, the term blood in German connected to Greek means polter. In the term Crip in German connected to Greek is the term Geist. That's where we get the term poltergeist, or that which is demonic. So this is the foundation of Black Lives Matter, and this is the reason why it must be destroyed.
When I was researching over the weekend about you coming back on, I came across you getting into this IFA divination system. And as I'm listening to you, I'm doing a bit of homework and a bit of background on it. And I'm like, I wasn't skeptical. I was fairly neutral, really. I thought this is an interesting development now that Larry's getting into. But I didn't have to do too much in terms of research to find some very interesting information. And I found something which you probably found yourself, an essay written by a woman called Hiba Farag, who's at Georgetown University. The Berkeley Center at Georgetown University. Wait till you hear this now. You might be aware of this. I'm going to very quickly read this because it's important. It's about an action that was taken at Mayor Eric Garcetti's house, Los Angeles. So this is the University of Georgetown. And it's a woman, I won't mention her name again. She's kind of backing up what Larry's been saying. On June 2nd, 2020, which is only a few weeks ago, Black Lives Matter Los Angeles chapter sponsored an action in front of Mayor Garcetti's house, demanding reductions in the city's funding of the police. The action, what many people would call a protest, began like a religious ceremony. Melina Abdullah, chair of the Department of Pan-African Studies at California State University, Los Angeles, and co-founder of Black Lives Matter Los Angeles, opened the event explaining that while the movement is a social justice movement, it is first and foremost a spiritual movement. She led the group in a ritual, the reciting of names of those taken by state violence before their time, ancestors now being called back to animate their own justice. George Floyd, and they go on to mention names, Michael Brown, Andrew Joseph, etc. Right, Malcolm X. As each name is recited, Dr. Abdullah poured libations on the ground as the group of over 100 chanted Ase, a Yoruba term often used by practitioners of Ifa, a faith and divination system that originated in West Africa. In return, this ritual, Abdullah explained, is a form of worship. Larry, it's endorsing most or much of what you've just told me there. And I had no idea about any of this until I was catching up on your programmes ahead of you coming back on today. And you really think now that this is very significant? Because a lot of the volunteers for Black Lives Matter, a lot of men and women who get involved, they probably won't be aware of any of this, will they?
They're not. And that's an excellent, excellent point you just made there, Brother Richie. Again, you're probably one of the best hosts I've ever encountered in 25 years of radio ministry. So that most of the people that are involved in these libations, and as a side point, the term libation actually means liquid alchemy, alchemy, or that which has become liquid. And so the term alchemy, this is where we get the term alchemist or pharmacy or pharmakia, which is witchcraft. So the term libation is rooted in the term Asa, capital A-S apostrophe E. Now, Asa in West African witchcraft is a high-ranking principality demon. So when these individuals went to Mayor Garcetti's house, what they were doing, they actually put a curse on that man's family. That's what they have done. And these three women, Alicia Garza, Patrice Cullors, and Oprah Tometi, members of Omega Phi Beta and Alpha Kappa Alpha, being members of the Black Blue Lace Seeker Society, they are witches. They are communists and Marxists. And so then that term, libation, is a process through alchemy of pouring liquid to contact the gods of the 16 pointed levels of gods in the Idu Ifa religion, what we call divination or divination. 16. Oh, so then how many chapters does Black Lives Matter have in this country and in Canada? 16. Excellent point that you brought up there, Brother Richie, because the term libation also means the Afrocentric eye, or ASA. So what they had, this organization, which had a good beginning of exposing police corruption, have now been hijacked by witches and warlocks. There are over 3,000 different religions of what I call religion. A legion is not just a demon, but legion means 6,000. Another topic for another day. So these are self-proclaimed witches. Alicia Garza, Patrice Cullors, and Oprah Tometi. I'm not lambasting or castigating their character. They're telling you who they are. And that's why they must be destroyed. When they talk about pouring libation, okay, they are contacting one of the upper echelons of their gods called Asa, capital A-S-E, which is also a West African philosophical concept of connecting to the unknown. Now, as a side note, why do many African-American weddings have the man and the woman jump over the broom? My friend, that goes back 3,000 years to West African witchcraft divinational thought of where a witch, and you can find this on Google Images, where a witch would put down a broom, the witch's broom that we call the holly wand, that's made out of Hollywood or California. Now, the term Cali, capital C-A-L-I, I'm going to get back to libations, or the term Cali with the K, capital K-A-L-I, is the god of the Thuggee Seeker Society. She has 10 hands and 10 arms, representing the 10 European Carmen Market today. That's another topic for another day. And around the body of Kaylee, she has the skulls or the cognitional thinking of the men that she conquered. Well, three women are running Black Lives Matter, which means the manipulation of Black matter. Alicia Garza, Patrice Cullors, and Opal Tometi. And this term here, Kaylee, when you type in her name on Google Images, you will see either her right foot or her left foot on the neck and of the chest of a man or a woman. That represents the psyop of George Floyd via Derek Chauvin. So then when we talk about Black Lives Matter, this is the reason why they must be destroyed. Not because they're exposing police corruption. It must be exposed. They must be destroyed because they are terrorizing our great nation. They want to destroy the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, not dependence, Black people, and the Bill of Rights. They want to create a communistic caliphate in this country. That's why I see the coming destruction of Black Lives Matter. But that libation, that's a key point. And when, in other words, they just put a curse on the mayor of the home of the mayor of Los Angeles. That's what libation means. Now, as a side note, I've said this many times on your show and many other shows, that Black people need to stop calling themselves African. And why do I say that in relation to Black Lives Matter? Because the original name of the continent was not called Africa. It was called Alkebula, capital A-L-K-E-B-U-L-A-N. It is a Coptic Egyptian word, my friend, meaning the Garden of Eden. So the original Garden of Eden was not in Europe. No, was not in Eastern, Central, or Western Europe, not even in the Middle East. And the original Garden of Eden is in what we call Africa today, or Alkebula. Now, the question is, in relation to the coming destruction of Black Lives Matter, how did we get the name Africa or African centricity? There was a white Roman general by the name of Leo Scipio Africanus who had defeated Hannibal in 202 BC during the Second Punic War in Carthage, which is present-day Libya, and changed the name of the continent from Alkebulum to Africanus, which is Africa today. Now, there's going to be people saying, well, Bishop, he wasn't born with the name. He was given the name. It doesn't matter whether he was born with the name, which he was, or whether he was given the name Africanus by the white power structure, okay, within the Roman Empire. The Black diaspora today, my friend, are walking around, millions of Black people all over the world, and they have attached their lives, their spirit, soul, and body to the name of a family who were slave owners, who were practitioners of spirit cooking that you and I call cannibalism. For the term Cain and Abel, connected means cannibal. And the Africanus family were practitioners of not just cannibalism and spirit cooking, okay, that's Marina Abramovich, but the Africanus family were practitioners of child sacrifice, child sex through pedophilia, but yet you got millions of Black people throughout the Black diaspora calling themselves African. That's why we are not free yet, because we're still attached to the past as we're talking about the coming destruction of Black Lives Matter.
A number of people have mentioned to me while listening to this that the goddess Kali, there is an image of her at CERN in Switzerland, which we are told is an ongoing experiment to create the conditions of the Big Bang, the conditions before you know, the universe came into being. But I've become convinced over the years that there's something deeper going on there, and that they're looking at the multiverse, or unlocking doors to other dimensions and things like that. But it is true that this goddess Kali is there. And you see, I used to be fairly dismissive of this type of thing. I used to put it down to coincidence. And I used to put it down to, well, they use these images of these old gods and goddesses because they look cool. I was a bit dim back then, I think. I used to, you know, dismiss it as coincidence. But it isn't coincidence, because it keeps showing up all over the place in weird and wonderful ways. But I'm going to say this to you, and I don't say this to dishearten you. To convince you, you are going to have a job on your hands, I think, even though there is a lot to what you are saying. I know there is. To convince regular folks, Larry, that these cannibalistic and child sacrificial practices that went on years ago, that they are still going on to, and I'm not saying they're not going on, I'm not stupid, but that's above most people's heads, isn't it? You say that to somebody and you show them that evidence that you've knitted together neatly, and they just say, nah, it's not happening. Nobody's doing that today. That's what you're going to be fighting against, I think, constantly. What do you think?
The greatest weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the mind of the oppressed. And so we're living in a generation of where we are eyewitnessing the global structure and system of what I call the blue pill psyop. Because people will assassinate you like they did Malcolm X and Martin Luther King. These men died because they dared to remove the blue pill psyop from the minds of these individuals. And now we're living in a construct, okay? This global house, this global enslavement, okay, called the world. Now, from a biblical standpoint, the Bible did not say that in the beginning God created the heaven and the world. It said in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. The world came into fruition because of the fall of Adam. That's where the blue pill psyop began. Now, to your biblical students, getting back to your question, to your biblical students, when Adam, now, allow me to ask you a question, my brother. What is the first letter of Adam? A.
Yeah.
What is the last letter of Adam? M. So Adam represents the AM of the morning. His wife, Eve, represents the PM of the evening. So Adam has four letters representing the first 4,000 years of the law. Eve has three letters representing the 3,000 years of grace. That's 7,000 years. Now we are at the time of what we call grace, where God has anointed me with a global assignment to awaken a generation of people who don't know who they are. Can I give you a powerful example? As I was preparing for you last night, my friend, because you are absolutely a great host. And so anytime I'm about to go into a radio show or a podcast, I prepare to get the mind of God through the mind of that host. So this is when you and I were created by God, okay? You and I were not created to kill, to maim, to discombobulate. You and I were created by God to give life. So for a man, I want you to hear me, this is powerful. For a man to kill his brother or sister, something that he valued more than God had to enter into him. For a man or a woman to kill their brother or sister, something that they value, Brother Richie, more than God had to enter into him. So we have 7.7 billion people upon the face of the earth. So then my job is to awaken them one brain at a time. So when you look at the term Kali, capital K-A-L-I, This is where we get the term California. So the term fornia is a Greek word and a Latin word meaning fornication, pediatry, pedophilia, okay, or helophiliac or petrophiliac. So when we say California, Cali, which means diva, divination, Cali, which means life, thug life, and Cali, which means care, okay? When we're talking about the Center for Islamic, the Center for American Islamic Relations, CARE, who are subsidizing Black Lives Matter with millions of dollars. Another topic for another day. So California, Tupac Shakur created a song called California Love. So Cali is the goddess, what we call diva or divination. And this is going to blow your mind. Cali, with the C or a K, also comes from the Coptic Egyptian word, bay, then ounce. This is where we get the term Beyonce, bay and ounce. So Beyonce also means Cali or a 10-armed demon. So when you're talking about Jay-Z, Gay-Z, when you're talking about a generation of Black people, they don't know who they are. They think their name is 50 Cent, Quarter, Nickel, Penny, Ice-T, Ice Cube, Ice Tray, Pitbull, Little Bow Wow, Snoop Dogg, Five-Pack, Two-Pack, Little Kitten. They don't know who they are, Brother Richie. They know what they are, but they don't know who they are. So to get back to the premise of your question, yes, this is a job that God has anointed me to do. My life has been threatened, and it is threatened every week because you have a power structure in our country. They don't want Black America to awaken. Our conservative values is not in the Democratic Party. And can I say this to you also, my brother, when we're talking about the coming destruction of what we call Black Lives Matter, the Ku Klux Klan was not created by white people. I got everyone's attention now. The Ku Klux Klan was created by a Rothschild agent, a man by the name of Judah Philip Benjamin, who had hired both Albert Pike and Nathan Bedford Forrest of the Confederacy to become the faces of the Klan, while the Khazarian mob of the Rothschilds through their agent, Philip Benjamin Judah, or Judah Philip Benjamin, would hide behind white faces. So white people did not create the Ku Klux Klan. It was created out of the PSYOP of the Knights of the Golden Circle with Rothschild money, like the NAACP was created not by Black people, but by a Khazarian attorney out of Romania by the name of Henry Moskowitz in the Spingarn brothers, okay? So Black people, though you see Black faces in the NAACP, SNCC, CORE, Urban League, but they don't control their own organizations, okay? This is the coming destruction of not just Black Lives Matter. It's bigger than them. There must be a psychological and a geopolitical and a spiritual revolution in this country and around the world because Black people are still not free from the psyop of what I call victimhood. So yes, we must awaken them. Now we have leaders here, okay, in the past on the left, okay? They lacked insight, they lacked foresight, and because they lacked insight and foresight, they tried to lead America through the oversight. What type of oversight? Is it capital O-V-E-R? S-I-T-E as in location or protecting America? Or was it the oversight of capital O-V-E-R-S-I-G-H-T, which means an omission, a mistake? So we have to look at words and dissect these words in order to awaken humanity. You're not an African. You're not going to name yourself after a white Roman Empire family. That's why Black Lives Matter must be destroyed. Yes, expose police corruption. Yes, there is racism, but white supremacy is a fallacy. And the only reason why white supremacy exists on this planet, because Black people keep talking about it. No one is lynching me. No one is lynching my family. This is the reason why we must look at Black Lives Matter from a spiritual paradigm. And can I also say this? There are Bloods and Crips in New York City. They don't want to be on the Democratic plantation. There are Bloods and Crips, men and women who are intelligent, who they're not killers, okay? These are young men and women. They want to be a part of the American dream, okay? Allow me to say this before we give the floor over back to you. The origin of the Bloods and Crips, not just here in the United States, but all over the world. The origin of the Bloods and Crips comes from the Central Intelligence Agency, going back in the late 60s. When the original Black Panther Party was neutralized by the FBI through that homosexual demon, J. Edgar Hoover, it left a vacuum in Black America. Thereby came the creation of the Bloods, Poulter, and the Crips Geist, or Poltergeist. Now, when we talk about the structure of what you and I call Black Lives Matter, so then the original Bloods were called the Pirus, capital P-I-R-U, which is a Finnish word or a Finland interpretation of a high-ranking demon. So that term Piru, it means death, but it also means smart aleck. I kid you not, the term that we say you are a smart aleck, okay, capital A-L-E-C-K, that is an interpretation of the term Piru, which was the original Bloods, which later became the Bloods. That's Bloods, that's Piru. Then you have the Crips. So the term Crip means coffin. So in Black America, it's all a concentration of death, funeral homes, okay? Death insurance, okay? Bad food, what we call neuroparasitology, which means because of the self-hate of the people who don't know who they are, they only have access to foods that are poisonous. I'm talking about in the Black community. So thereby, when they ingest these foods, it becomes parasites. And through neural parasitology, the human thinking for decision-making, especially in Black people, is altered and affected, infected because of bad foods, because of the parasites through these bad, through bad dieting affects the mental capacity of a people to riot, to give libations, to sing California or fornication. This is a psyop that God has anointed me to destroy. So the Bloods and the Crips are a creation of the Central Intelligence Agency. Why would the Central Intelligence Agency create the Bloods, Poulter, and the Crips, Geist? in order to neutralize not just South Central and Compton and Watts in California, but to neutralize Black America.
To keep people these, down.
These are people from the left. Go right ahead, brother.
No, I want to take it from the metaphysical back to the physical. Larry Gators is our guest. And you catch Larry on Global Spiritual Revolution Radio, the iHeart Radio Network. Larry is on Twitter. It's at Bishop L. Gators. Bishop L. for Larry Gators. Check him out. Follow him there. It's been a fascinating conversation, this. It really has. We've got about 20 minutes left on it. I want to bring it back to the physical, out of the metaphysical. Not that I don't respect what you've said, what you've been saying. This particular group then, which is doing very well at the moment, is being endorsed by everybody. People are wearing the symbols, the badges, the pins. People are donating to it. Let me do two things. Before I ask my next question, let me just read a statement from the...
Yes.
This is a statement given to Reuters News Agency by the Open Society Foundation. They said, this is Soros Open Society Foundation, but it obviously isn't. I know you know this, Larry. But for my listeners, it isn't Soros speaking, it's a spokesman. We proudly support organisations that promote civic engagement and champion the right of all Americans to petition their government for redress of grievances. Those protesting the death of Mr. Floyd and police brutality across the nation do so out of a deep and abiding concern for country. They don't do so for pay from these, our foundations, or any other, as some cynic claims. Now, before you come back on that, two things I wanted to pick you up on. I don't pick fights, and I'm not picking a fight with you. I believe J. Edgar Hoover was indeed a demon, as you described him. But I don't believe his sexuality had anything to do with it. And I'm not a virtue signaler. I just disagree with that, and I want that on the record. But we can agree to disagree on that. But if this particular group, then, becomes more political in nature and begins to spring candidates, Larry, into various elections, whether it be city councils, whether it be congressional, whether it be Senate elections, they're not going to get very far, are they, if they campaign on manifestos that say we want to defund the police and we want to rip up the Constitution. I don't imagine those types of manifestos are going to endear them to the wider American public.
No, that's an excellent, excellent point that you just made there, Brother Richie. It will not fly within America, especially with our white brothers and sisters. Now, remember getting back to George Floyd. God rest his soul. George Floyd was between 6'4" and 6'6". But yet he was supposedly buried in a coffin that was 6'1". That's a red flag. And number two, on the chest of George Floyd was the Latin phrase, "Order ad child," capital C-H-A-O, which means order out of chaos. So the white liberal power structure on the left, which Malcolm X had predicted back in 1963, and any of your one of your members and your staff people and your listeners can go on YouTube and type in the 1963 Malcolm X interview at the University of California at Berkeley. He had predicted that the white liberal power structure was nothing more than a fox and a wolf. Both are canines. So a fox and a wolf, though they are different animals, but they have different methodologies of getting the lamb chop on their plate. Why would Malcolm X had said that? Because he saw that Black people were being manipulated. And the only reason why that Nancy Pelosi and those Democrats a couple of weeks ago, I'm sure that you saw this on within the local media there in England, okay? That Nancy Pelosi and these Democrats on the left were kneeling down in one knee. Remember Officer Derek Chauvin on one knee. And all of these Democrats were in the form of a pyramid or pyramid, which Nancy Pelosi was the eye of the pyramid, What were they wearing? They were wearing kente cloths. Now, for your black historians, the Kente cloth is a creation of the Ashanti family going back 2,000 years within the nation of Ghana. It was the Ashanti family that sold our people into slavery. But yet these Democrats were wearing the very garment and the insignia, the Kente cloth, which represents the Ashanti Empire that sold our people into slavery. What does that mean? It means that the Democratic Party is not interested in Black liberation. They're not interested in healing the root cause of not just the addiction of people, but the pain that produced the addiction. The reason why you see rioters, because, my friend, many of these rioters come from broken homes, okay, what we call proximal abandonment. Though the parents were there physically, but emotionally they're absent. So these children, their pain and their trauma is being manipulated and weaponized by George Soros. They don't care about Black people, and they don't even care about George Floyd. Okay, they don't give a damn about George Floyd. They're using the life of George Floyd and Eric Garner and Michael Brown and Trayvon Martin and Freddie Gray to perpetuate the creation of both a Fourth Reich and the Fifth Reich.
Let me say this, Larry. Let me jump in because this is really important.
Yes.
I'm prepared to accept, because I've spent some years now reading books by people like David Icke, and before that, before that, but during that time, meeting and befriending people like Jim Mars, rest in peace, Jim, and knowing Jordan Maxwell for many years, I believe you when you talk about how those who make the decisions, people whose names we've never heard and maybe never will hear, are wrapped up in paedophilia, Satanism, demonology. I used to think this was ridiculous. I used to think it was fanciful. But I had to drop the stubbornness and look at the evidence. And the evidence is there. It surrounds them. You very eloquently, again tonight, talked about, you know, the various clothes, the insignias, the badges, the pyramids. It's all there. And I'm not trying to be a negative Nelly here. You can't get people... And maybe you, if you have, I mean, I'm not sure about God. I'm agnostic, I think, about God. Maybe God has anointed you. But this is something that people just don't want to countenance. They don't want to think about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's because it's so crazy. I was speaking to a friend of mine earlier about the stage shows of people like Katy Perry and Madonna. It's not because these symbols are catchy and sexy on the eye. I'm not stupid. There's something much more deep going on with the Satanism and the devil's horns everywhere and all this sort of stuff. But getting people to consider that, Larry, that those in the shadows, whose names, like I said, we'll never know, the people pulling the strings of the politicians and the corporations, that they're into this stuff. I mean, there's a famous photograph of, we've all seen it, of one of the Rothschilds' parties, one of their big soirees, where they've got the Baphomet heads, don't they? And stuff like that. Nobody wears that shit. Nobody. Nobody says, do you know what I'll do, Larry? Let's go to a party tonight and let's put a goat's head on. Nobody does that. I know this now, but I can't get people to pay attention to this. And I'm a good communicator.
Yes, you are. And it takes good... Not just good communicators like you, myself, but great communicators like yourself, myself, and the great David Icke, who is one of my heroes in the awakening community here, not just in the United States, but around the world. So it takes a particular vessel that has been anointed by God to awaken a certain people. The reason why certain people cannot be awakened by certain teachers, because that teacher has not been gifted nor anointed by God to awaken. That's not their assignment. Now, as a side note, I'm going to say something metaphorically through metaphysics that's going to blow your mind. You already know this. So there is, my friend, a Persian term called riaf ya. Allow me to spell that for your listeners. Capital R-I-A-F, then Y-A-W. That is a Persian lexicon word meaning that which is hidden. So riaf ya, when spelled from right to left, because it's to my understanding, the Hebrew is written from right to left, you get the term Wayfair. Ah, so the Wayfair Corporation, to understand this psyop, you cannot look at this, and I'm not saying that you're doing this, my brother, you cannot look at this from a natural mindset of trying to interpret this. You have to have the mind of God. The Holy Spirit can only reveal this to you. So the Wayfair Corporation is carrying a spirit of this Persian lexicon word, riaf ya, which means that which is hidden. Well, what is hidden? This is where we get the term occultism. So children going back to during the times of the Babylonians, right? And talking about the time of Nimrod, and this is where we get the term Nimrodic, or that which is perverse or perverse. So going back 6,000 years, children were sacrificed throughout the Babylonian Empire by putting or inserting children in different structures of what we call furniture. Do you think Wayfair just came up with this a month ago? No, these devils know Babylonian history. They know Assyrian history. They know the history of what we call Egyptology. So going back to both the Babylonian and the Persian empires, they will not only sacrifice children unto Molech, what we call Planned Parenthood, because most of Planned Parenthood clinics are in Black and Latino communities throughout the country, at least 80%. That's not by accident.
No.
So going back quickly to at least 4,000 to 5,000 years during the time of the Babylonian Empire through Nebuchadnezzar or the system of 666, they would sacrifice children by inserting or putting the bodies of dead children, not just into coffins, okay, but also into pieces of furniture, which the structure of that furniture was shaped like the Haas god demon that the parent worshiped. Why do you think that Bloods and Crips give these gang signs? They didn't create these gang signs. And it wasn't even the white boys out of the Skulls and Bones at Yale University, which they also did the hand signs. These hand signs, now to get away from the premise of your question, goes back to the year of 1300, where these three demons of Buram Black, Labeth Lives, and Morti Matter, Black Lives Matter, according to the Sanskrit, they were the first ones, the thuggy secret society, to create what we call gang signs. So the hand signs would be in the shape, in the form of the house demon that that family worshiped. These Black people don't know what they're doing. No. And that's the reason why they're killing each other. And you know what? I got to say this. Boy, you really hit a nerve with me today in a great way. The reason why cities like Detroit, Michigan, New York City, Baltimore, Maryland, Los Angeles, you know why, and Chicago, you know why these cities are ran down to the ground? Not because of white people, not because of the GOP or the Republican Party. These cities have been ran into the ground as rat holes because of histories, because of decades after decades of Black left-wing leadership of Black folk who don't know what they're doing. I'm not saying the entire Black race. is not educated and we don't know what we're doing. But these black mayors and city council people over Baltimore, in Detroit, in Chicago, they have rammed these cities to the ground because of left-wing black Marxist leadership. And President Trump is going to clean that up. Stop blaming white people, black people. Stop blaming white supremacy and start taking responsibility for your life. Pull up your pants, okay? Get an education. The tools are there. The crowns have been won for you by God through Dr. King and Malcolm X. It is time for us to stop making excuses. And it's time for us to get from the blue pill of this psyop that I call victimhood. I gotta work 10 times harder because I'm a black woman. Stop. That's victimhood mentality. That's why I see the coming destruction of Black Lives Matter, because they are being manipulated through omnikinesis and telekinesis, which is witchcraft. They're being manipulated as dark matter, because in the mindset of the deep state, when mind doesn't matter, because matter doesn't mind, they're nothing more, Black Lives Matter, than a structural illumination system, okay, for the control and the manipulation of matter, Black Lives Matter. It's going to be destroyed. Antifa's going to be destroyed, because we're not going to allow you to destroy our past, which some of it is evil and painful. We're not going to allow you to take over the Constitution. And that, my friend, is the coming destruction of Black Lives Matter. We have to expose people, corporations like Wayfair, not from a natural standpoint. Of course, you're not going to understand it, because if the individual does not have Jesus Christ in their lives, you cannot rightly interpret the spiritual demons that are controlling, not just the left, but controlling, my friend, corporations like Wayfair. They've been doing this for decades. And the two founders of Wayfair, okay, are on the boards of both the Clinton Foundation and the Clinton Global Initiative, and including the two, and this is going to blow your mind here as we end this today, but also the two owners, my friend, of Wayfair sit on the board. Guess who? Where? The Clinton Global Initiative and the Clinton Foundation, but they are members of the Haiti Fund Foundation.
Wait. Are they definitely?
So these two owners are members of the Clinton Haiti Fund. The Clinton Haiti Fund, which millions, and we're talking about the two owners of Wayfair, we're talking about Steve Conan and Nuraj Shah. They are members of not just the Clinton Global Foundation and the Clinton Global Initiative, but these two devils who have been covering up pedophilia through Wayfair and pedophile and child trafficking for decades. They are members of the Clinton Global Initiative's Haiti Fund, with billions of dollars are missing because of Hillary and Bill Clinton. But these two founders of the Wayfair Corporation, Nuraj Shah and Steve Conan, sit on the Haiti board of the Clinton Global Initiative and the Clinton Foundation. Their time is up. Okay, the pedophilia global system, your time is up. And for you basketball fans who love Dwayne Wade, look online and type in Dwayne Wade, misunderstood LGBTQ communities. So it shows on the businessjournalreview.com that the braids of Dwayne Wade is in the form of miniature pyramids, which is one of the symbols, my brother, that was exposed by the FBI a few years ago as being one of the symbols of the underground pedophilia network users. Why would Dwayne Wade have his hair braided? Because he's been buck broken.
Hey, listen, before I forget.
He has become a slave of the system. And that is my conclusion of the coming destruction of what you and I call Black Lives Matter.
It's fascinating. This, I have to say this, the Wayfair Company have been laughing out loud, not at you, but they've been laughing at this conspiracy theory, as they call it, that blew up on Instagram and on Twitter about their products being, giving clues to their participation in a trafficking ring. They say that it's absolutely laughable and ridiculous and risible. And
Of course they're going to say that. What else do you expect from a pig other than?
Well, let me finish. I linked earlier on Donald Trump to the activities of Jeffrey Epstein, and you correctly. Well, I say correctly. I've got to be honest. You said, "Well, show me the incontrovertible evidence." And I can't, and I've got to be honest and say, okay, 1-0 to Bishop Larry Gators, though I'm convinced that Trump is dirty. But look, I don't have any incontrovertible proof. There's no proof that the Wayfair guys are involved in trafficking. There isn't. There's no hard... And if you're those guys, right?
He is in the midst of, if he hasn't done it already, people, he's right? going to resign because... he was exposed. Why would he resign, or why would he even think about resigning? Talking about Nirav Shah, because they were exposed. And we're not talking about exposed by Q, okay, which is a global movement that I am a part of. I believe in it. But I'm saying all of these organizations, my friend, not to cut you off, and I do apologize.
No, you're good.
All of these organizations that are fronts for pedophilia, child trafficking and sacrifice. There are major adrenochrome witch seeker societies. There are major adrenochrome. This is where we get the computer server chrome, from whence we get the term chromosome. Another topic for another day. There are adrenochrome witch seeker societies in Hollywood, which the rapper P. Diddy wrote a book. Okay, and it supposedly came out a month ago. Now Barnes & Noble has extracted it from the shelf. Why? Because they're covering this up, and I'm going to expose it on the 10-4 hat show out of Los Angeles, okay, on the 29th of this month. The Adrenochrome Witch Seeker Societies. Even the actor, my friend, okay, Keanu Reeves, okay, he had said on a video that there are adrenochrome witch festivals where they take children and babies and extract the adrenochrome from them and extract the melon from black babies in order for the melons not just to be ingested, including adrenochrome, by these witches and warlocks in Hollywood like P. Diddy and P. Nut, okay, and all of the Black Boule Seeker Society members, including Jay-Z and Beyonce.
So okay, do you think, Larry, just before, because can I just jump in? Let me jump in quick. I don't want to interrupt you, but we're going to run out of time. We're going to run out of time, and I don't want to interrupt you, but stay with P. Diddy and the book. Do you think that Diddy, Sean Combs, or Combs, do you think that he was trying to blow the whistle on yes. this? You do, honestly.
He was, yes. And notice, don't be surprised if P. Diddy, Sean Combs, ends up dead. I'm not wishing that for his death. Okay, don't be surprised, because why would he do that? Because he is pissed off at someone within the deep state. That's why he was going to expose it. And don't be surprised if he ends up getting killed. That's why Kobe Bryant was taken out. Not because the insurance pharmaceutical industrial complex was using his nickname, the Black Mamba. Let's go deeper than that. These men were willing to die in order to expose the corruption in Hollywood. Do you think Tom Hanks contracted COVID-19? That's garbage. Tom Hanks, Oprah Witch Winfrey, and her little girlfriend, Gail Stale King, they're up in their necks in this child trafficking system, but it's all going to come down. And yes, to answer your question, P. Diddy, I'm telling you, he's going to, God forbid, we got to pray for the man's life. Why would he expose that? because he was upset with someone within the Hollywood system. These people have been sacrificing children and babies for decades. And now, because of the election of a real American, a true president, who's not perfect. I'm not saying Donald J. Trump is perfect and he makes mistakes. We call him out on that because we love him as our brother. OK, and it's nothing personal that I have against the Clintons or the Obamas. I have nothing personal against Barack Obama. You never heard me talk about his children or his children. I am against the politics of these individuals. And in my conclusion, when we're talking about the coming destruction of Black Lives Matter, I'm not saying the FBI is going to destroy the offices of Black Lives Matter. God's going to do it because they're wrong and they're trying. And now they're forcing white people to get on their knees and to worship them, to apologize for a history that white people had nothing to do with. Newsflash, 95% of the slave owners in the South were not white people. 95% of those through the East India Company and the West India Company that built the slave ships and owned them, white people did not own those slave ships. It was Rothschild money, my brother.
I know you're not blaming Jews. We're going to wrap it up there. We've got to wrap it up. We'll speak again with your permission in the autumn.
Yes.
We'll get into this. Right. I just want to say two things. There isn't any evidence that Oprah Winfrey or Tom Hanks has been involved in anything to do with children. I'm just saying that because it's true. You have your opinions about them, and I've heard other people speak about them on this program. There's no evidence to link them to any of that. I see a lot of what you're saying, and I understand it, and I see where you're going with it. And I'm fascinated by it. I really am. Larry, remind our listeners in 30 seconds how they can hear your radio show, when it's on, and where they can go to watch it, to hear it.
Yes, sir. Every Tuesday and Thursday night, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Life Radio Network, 92.9 FM, 1460 AM on liferadionj.com/Gators. liferadionj.com/Gators. GAITERS. You can also listen to us every Tuesday and Thursday night from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the worldwide conglomerate, the iHeartRadio Network, in the iHeartMedia Group, also here in New York City, New York, and every Friday night from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the USA Radio Network here in the United States of America. And please, with your permission, my friend, please, to all of your listeners, please financially bless Global Spiritual Revolution Radio. No, I don't have a Mercedes-Benz or a Jaguar. Every dime is going to go into Global Spiritual Revolution Radio because it takes money to run a global
ministry. Larry, I tell my listeners all the time, if they listen to independent media content creators and they listen to them regularly, they should support them where they can. So I endorse that.
PayPal.me/GSRR Media Group. PayPal.me/GSRR Media Group. Thank you so much,
Larry.
My
thank
friend.
You for your time. Lovely to have you back, and I look forward to doing it again. It's been an education. Thank you.
Love you, brother.
All the best. You God too, bless. Larry. Larry Gators, there, Bishop Larry Gators, live on the Richie Allen radio show. I'm not getting into Larry again about Trump. I know that Trump is the Clintons. That Trump is Obama. There isn't any different. I'm not getting into it, but I do respect his opinion. And that's all you can do. But I don't agree with him. There's no point in me constantly telling him I disagree with him because that's not good radio. Fascinating stuff there about the origins of this group, Black Lives Matter, and the links to this religion out of West Africa, the occultism. It's really interesting stuff, and I think there's a lot of truth in it. Before we say goodbye, Gail has been listening to this program and tweeting me now for 2 or 3 years, maybe 4 years. And I saw a tweet earlier on where Gail said it's her birthday today. Happy birthday, Gail. Look after yourself. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. And enjoy your birthday. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye. Thanks again to Larry Gators.